Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, Mr. FST. And I'm doing my thing because I like to swing this way. And I'm just so gosh darn. Now, I'm not going to give Jerry the opportunity to change my words. I'm not going to do it. But anyway, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. And my co-host today is none other than the ATM, the money machine that will pad my pockets this upcoming summer and fall, Mr. Jerry Taylor. What's going on, JT?
Well, we all know what way you swing, but that's beside the point.
Oh, whatever. Keep playing with me, dog. Keep playing with me.
I am glad to be here because we got a lot to talk about. We were talking about a little off-air about what happened last night, but I'm happy to be here. Let's get this thing rolling.
That's good to hear. We're going to talk a little bit about last night's show with Mac Williams as well. But before I forget and we get too caught up in all this stuff, I wanted to let you know, Jerry, and I wish Black was on the phone too, because he could verify this. My wife just booked our hotel reservations for the time when we fly in.
Okay.
Did you know?
No.
Anne Arundel County is opening up a casino.
No.
And it will be open June 6th. So we'll be there June 26th through the 29th. So I'm just letting you know, when you come down, have your slips ready, my friend. Have your slips ready.
And really?
Black calls in, yes, because when we booked the reservations at the hotel, I guess the hotel concierge told my wife, for your husband, because I was complaining about the shopping, that the casino... There will be a casino opening on June 6th in that area.
Really?
Full-fledged
okay.
casino.
Full-fledged casino, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
So, as you know, the first month of any casino, all you do is win, no matter what, so they can bring the people in the doors and out their butts.
And off their butts, I should say. What date is that?
It opens June 6th,
right?
According to the concierge, and we'll be down there on the 29th. So,
29th. Okay.
Yes, but if you are able to make it down there before me to scope out the situation, that will be good too.
And my question is this: what's the name of the casino, and where is it located?
It's in Anne Arundel County, Maryland. So,
how do you spell that?
Anne Arundel, Arundel, or A-L, County, Maryland. My spelling is awful, but, you know, once you put it in Google, it'll pop up. But that's what I was told.
Really?
Yep.
That's very interesting.
Yes, it is. So before I got the show started, I want to let you know. But on today's show, since we're talking about gambling, we're going to talk about the Preakness. And Bodie Meister.
I was there.
Huh?
I was right there, man. I thought I was home. I thought we were home.
But we're going to talk about that because I know that's something Jerry loves.
Mm-hmm.
Also going to talk about, and I hope Jerry had an opportunity to look at the Yahoo article on the discrepancy and the way that third rounders and below are paid now in the NFL, because apparently each team is going to save an average of $10 million per year for the next 2 years, according to the CBA, meaning they're not paying their third round through seventh rounders a lot of money. And there's an article on Yahoo that we're going to discuss. We're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. We're also going to discuss Drew Brees as the Brees turns. Todd Benson says Drew will be a Saint for life.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We have a lot of NBA stuff to talk about, too. I mean, upsets. I mean, it's like, what's going on with the Heat? You guys talked about it a little bit last night. We're going to bring it up today.
We talked about a lot last night. We kept covered over a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes on the Heat and Shabron or Queen of Hearts or whatever you want to call them.
Yes. The coach called in and he helped carry that on, which I thought was a very good thing. It was nice. I'll talk to you guys about that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another topic you guys talked about was Floyd Mayweather and boxing. And, you know, as far as the steroid abuse, and you brought the issue that Victor Conti was in his corner, and what do you expect? So we're going to talk about that issue as well as Pacquiao thinking he's ready to fight Floyd. And I also think something that you and Max had last night could be true, that that Pac's camp might be getting duped into believing that Floyd is slowed down.
It's vulnerable, right?
Mr. Roach, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Parkinson's is really getting to him or what. But it was more of a shoulder lean to me than it was foot movement. But, hey, Freddie Roach has been boxing and in boxing for many, many years and knows more than I do. So we'll see. But anyway, let's tackle the topic of the Preakness first.
Sure.
Huh?
Sure. I got it right sitting in front of me. No problem. I've been analyzing it and taking a look at it for the last couple of days.
I bet you are, so we're going to have to make some wages here. But let's hear a report on why Bodemeister is still the favorite to win the Preakness. Soon as it plays.
Well, for a couple of reasons. On paper, at least, in the Kentucky Derby, there was a lot of speed to make him go very fast in the early portions of the race, and he faded late. There's not nearly that much speed, if any, in this race today, as well as the race is a 16th of a mile shorter. If you stop the Kentucky Derby at the Preakness distance, Bodemeister is a winner by about a half a length. That's why they made him the morning line favorite.
And that was the Hall of Fame jockey, Jerry Bailey, giving you that analysis.
Yes. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk to me now.
Okay.
You're the horse guy. You're the Bob Bedford of our show.
Well, I had said it on the FSP Cruise show, which is on 8 o'clock on Thursdays. Plug. Anyway.
That's what you got to do, dude.
That I felt that, in fact, I think I said it on my the master plan, which is on 10 o'clock morning on Sundays, that Bodemeister, I really liked him in the Pimlico. I know, and I can't say that I'm an expert, but I think I'm a pretty good handicapper. I have a little reputation around here at the track that's near me, I'm a pretty good handicapper. I like this horse a lot in the Kentucky Derby. The horse that beat him. Let me put it this way, folks. First time in the 138 running of the Kentucky Derby that a horse from the 19th post, which this horse, I'll have another, was, ever won the race. He had a perfect trip. 20 horses in a race, a lot of horses can get in trouble. This horse didn't. He had a perfect trip all the way around the track and clear aim at Bodemeister, who I thought halfway in the stretch was going to win the race. But he led the race for three-quarters of the race and gave it up to I'll have another late in the race. Just like Jerry Bell in that clip you heard, this is a shorter race. It's a mile and 3/16. It's at Pimlico Racetrack, which is historically front-running horses. It's a speed-favoring track. Bodemeister is the only speed, like Jerry Bailey said, that I can see that he saw is a front-running speed horse in the race. The horse only knows how to run one way. He goes to the front, and he takes it as far as he can.
His Well, I got a question for you because I'm not that big of a horse racing guy.
Right.
Is Pimlico grass or dirt?
Dirt. Well, most tracks, a lot of tracks, have a dirt track and a grass track. So the grass track is usually the inner part of the racing oval. Dirt track is the outer part of it. So these big races, all these Triple Crown races, are run on the dirt. They have different type of races equivalent to Triple Crown races for grass, but this is the most prestigious one. It's the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and then the Belmont Stakes, which is a mile and a half at Belmont Park, which is a very long race with big sweeping curves. So different type of track. These are three different type of tracks, quite naturally, three different distances. Pimlico is a mile and 3/16, like I said. It's a 16th shorter than Churchill Downs. It's a speed favoring track, and the turns are tighter turns than it is at Churchill Downs, which has long sweeping turns, and Belmont, which has even longer sweeping turns. This is a tighter track. It's more speed favoring. Anybody who's on the front end that is a strong front end horse, like Bodie Meister, I think can win this race. I already touted this to my friend, a friend of mine who looks to me when these big races to give him what I thought will be the top four horses in the race. These are my top four horses. Quite naturally, I touted Bodie Meister, number 7 horse, because I have the post positions in front of me. I like Bodie Meister on top. I like the 9 horse, which is I'll Have Another. I'll Have Another as a closing horse. I think he's got a possibility to close to get second, or he could be back up and not get second or not be even in money. But I think he's going to be at least third in this race. So I'll say like this. I'll have Bodie Meister on top. I'll Have Another for second. Creative Cause, who got fifth in the Kentucky Derby, I think he'll have a cleaner trip. He had a trouble trip in the last race, and I think he'll have a cleaner trip for third. And then I'll have a slight long shot, Daddy Knows Best, which happens to be the 8 horse. So the numbers that I like, the 7, Bodie Meister, 9, I'll Have Another, 6, Creative Cause, and 8, Daddy Knows Best. And if an outside horse that I think might get into the race in one of those 2, 3, or 4 positions would be the number 5 horse, Went the Day Well, who closed to get 4th in the Kentucky Derby. That's my analysis.
Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the master is usually not too wrong when he makes these things. So he just gave you, what is it, the quadruple?
Let me put it this way.
$100,000.
Let me put it this way. I gave you the horse on top. I gave you 3 to 4 horses on the bottom. You can take those horses. You can put the 7 horse on top and make a dollar key, trifecta key, which is a $12 to put 4 horses behind it. You can put the Let me just get to the four horses.
The master plan's going through his paperwork now.
you can make a dollar try key. You walk up to the window. If you've never bet on a horse race before, listen to what I'm saying to you, and all you have to do is repeat it verbatim to the ticket puncher, and you'll get what I'll tell you what you're going to get. A dollar trifecta key, which is putting one horse on top and putting 4 horses behind it in no particular order. So you're doing a dollar trifecta key, which is 7 on top of the 5, 6, 8, 9. That's a $12 wager. Okay? Now, if you wanted to do an exacta with that, you walk up to the ticket puncher and you say, I want to, whatever amount of money you want to spend, say it's $2. You want to spend $2 on an exacta. Well, you ask the ticket puncher, I want a $2 exacta. 7 on top to 5, 6, 8, 9. That's an $8 wager. Now, quite naturally, depending on the odds of the horse, depends on how much money you win. So if you wager more, like a $20 wager with with 4 horses behind it, that's going to be $80. That wager. But then you get 10 times whatever the payback is. So if it's a $10 exact, if it's a $10, the payoff is a $10 exact. and you wager a $20, 7 over the 5, 6, 8, 9, which is an $80 wager, you'll get back $100. Am I right about that? Let me see. 20 times 80, it's a $10. And if it's a $10, yes, you get $100 back. But if it's more, quite naturally, you get the payoff is more. You wager $20, you get 10 times whatever it is.
Well, check this out. Black is saying right now he's at a cookout, so he couldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
But he says any horse that's being ridden by Ken Desormo is a good bet.
Ken Desormo.
Kent DeSormo. Thank you.
Well,
like,
that's because Kent DeSormo is a Maryland bred jockey. He's a world class jockey, but mm-hmm. he made he was weaned in Maryland at Maryland Tracks, Pimlico
okay.
and Laurel.
So he knows the Laurel Track. Well, I've been to the Laurel Track a few times.
Well, this is Pimlico, which is in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, close enough. Close to family ground. By the way, Black, since you're listening, I need you to verify that they're opening up the casino in Anne Arundel County on June 6th. I was told that if you just type it in, let me know, I can verify with Jerry, because when Jerry comes down, I think we all need to make a trip to the place Friday night. Before we go to Six Flags on Saturday. I'm just saying. That's just what I would like to do.
I'm just saying.
I'll let you know what hotel I'm staying in, too, Jerry, just in case y'all want to come down the night before
mm-hmm.
hang out. It's $200 yep. a night. I'm just letting you know that off the break, dude. My wife done spent all my money.
How much is it?
I'm just telling. $200 a night, dude. She
wow.
thinks I'm made out of money. Yeah, I know.
She
got a suite and some more crap.
Wow.
Yeah, she's spending my money, dude. It's
wow.
like I work for her. I work for her and the kids. I don't work for myself.
Wow.
But anyway,
she's got the Trump taste or what?
I believe so. Ivana Trump. We know what happened with Ivana and Donald, but I ain't trying to go there because I can't afford the child support. But anyway, let's keep it moving. We're going to backtrack a little bit. But a very good analysis on the Preakness that you got going there. So I want to talk about what you guys talked about last night, which is boxing. We brought up the Floyd Mayweather issue as far as the basketball and the referee. I think you guys talked about this with Black on Thursday.
Yes.
How Floyd made a lot of money on a bet, and the referee in question – or one of the refs in question happened to be pretty tight with Floyd. And as you said, Jerry, Floyd normally is on Twitter or wherever flashing his winning ticket, but this time he wasn't. Speak to me about it a little bit.
Well, the article, it's absolutely amazing that the same ref that was involved in the other Sacramento, and I forget the other team that was in it, Sacramento, years back with Tim Donaghy.
Mm-hmm.
The same ref that was in that game that was in question, is it in the same game with Dallas and, with Memphis and the L.A. Clippers?
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly was in the camp of Floyd Mayweather before the game. And then supposedly Floyd Mayweather made a $1.8 million bet on the game. I mean, and supposedly things were shaky or things were in question in this latest game. And this guy was a second time in a supposedly suspicious game.
Mm-hmm.
It's
too coincidental.
It's too coincidental. And the thing about it, like I said on Thursday, that one time, okay, it could be a coincidence. Two times, and it's the same guy that may be involved in it. And Tim Donaghy also said that I'm not the only one. I'm just the only one that got caught basically, I'm not saying it verbatim, but I'm giving an idea of what Tim Donaghy was saying, that I'm not the only one. Well, guess what, NBA? You got this guy with it looks like his hands in the cookie jar, or somebody's hands in the cookie jar, and for the second time. And that second time, it's no coincidence that his name is coming up, or the game that he's referenced is in question. All I got to say is this guy, his name, I'd be surprised. Let me put it this way. I'd be very surprised if this guy keeps on reffing games, or if not something like, oh, he's got a sudden illness, he's not going to be reffing games anymore this year, something, because this can tarnish the NBA big time, and when something like this happens, it's not easy, if ever, to recover from it.
Sure isn't. And Black, a.k.a. Manny Pacquiao, that's what he wants to be known by now. He sent me that message. You know, I know how he has feelings about the situation, too, because he's the one that brought it up.
Right.
And he's a Mayweather man. He's not a Pac fan. He's a Mayweather man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but my point in bringing it up is, if you look at last night's game between the Thunder and the Lakers, I would say towards the end, either they're going to let them play or they're going to call it down the middle. Because I saw on the Lakers side a lot of letting them play, but then when it came down to Harden and a couple other players on the Oklahoma side, it became ticky-tack fouls toward the end. So I'm not saying that they're trying to cause a game six or whatever, but that's a game that should have went there. You know, it shouldn't have gone there. And Black says the master is the ref in question, Greg Willard.
Right.
So that's the name of the guy, Greg Willard. So think about that.
Because I couldn't think of the guy's name. Yep.
Yeah, but Kobe wants to talk about taking it to a game four. So let's listen to Kobe.
I mean, it's two games in a row now where we've controlled the tempo. You know, we've done a really good job controlling the pace of the game and, you know, being physical. But as you see, even tonight, there's stretches where their explosiveness, I mean, they just go on runs quickly. I mean, in, you know, 45 seconds to a minute, they can go on a 7-0, 8-0 run. So we really got to be careful with the ball and, you know, keep them out of transition.
That ain't happening.
Well, that's what I was about to say, that could it be that, based upon what we just talked about with Mayweather and the refs, could it be that some of these refs might be like, oh, well, the Lakers, you know, they draw money. You know, I get to work more with the Lakers. Because you got to remember, people, the longer these series go, the longer these refs are paid and have a job. Because not all of them are going to ref in the finals. Not all of them are going to ref the next series or set of series, only a few. So I'm not trying to cause a controversy. I'm not. I'm just saying there's a lot of discrepancy going on. And if Kobe's saying, you know, we got to find a way to slow them down and we can't because they're so explosive and fast, you know, maybe there's something going on there.
Well, it can be something going on, but how many points did the Lakers win by?
I believe they won by three.
3 points.
Three or five.
How many points does Kobe score? 42 points? That's not happening again. That is not happening again. Kobe.
Well, they made a big mistake by letting freaking Fisher guard Kobe in the stretch. I don't know why they did that.
Well,
I have no idea why they did that.
That's not happening again. And I let me put it this way. And there's an older Laker team playing back-to-back games. I can see Oklahoma winning by 10 points today.
Because I'm fresh legs.
And being pissed off that they let one get away because they only let Kobe go off for 42 points the Lakers only won by 3 points. So you hold Kobe to 35 points, you win the game by almost a half a dozen points. So I that ain't happening. Kobe ain't gonna recover from last night to today. That quickly, along with Paul Gasol, Andrew Bynum, and whoever else is on that team, because there are a bunch of no names, in my opinion. I think it's going to go 3-1 back to OKC.
I believe it'll go 3-1, but I think Bynum being young, Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, you know, being somewhat young or having that time to sit because of the elbow, their legs might be a little fresher. Kobe, he was struggling towards the end as far as his stamina goes, although he was hitting his shots. All he had to do was post up Fisher, turnaround jumper. And one thing that I noticed that I believe we talked about early on in the season, in the shortened season, as well as what Barkley has said, you know, OKC towards the end of games, they like to settle for jump shots. They don't like to drive.
Right.
They don't like to dribble penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing by the way that teams are keeping it close. You know, I think it's difficult to maintain a shorter jump shot than it is to drive to the basket. Because, one, both teams were in the penalty. So you dribble drive, and you either get a foul or you go for a layup. Now, if they don't give you the foul, then, you know, you do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they need to penetrate more to the bucket. I know their bigs, the Lakers' bigs, are, you know, bigger and mobile and all that other good stuff. But, you know, you gotta take that speed that Westbrook has and all those other folks and take it to the hole, in my opinion.
I totally agree with you. There's a change in the other guard if you notice it or not, and both the East and the West. The East, I'm talking about the Sixers, who have basically young legs against the old Boston Celtics, and I'm also talking about the Indiana Pacers with their fresh young legs with no fear, playing good defense against the. I'm thinking too much. Should I take the shot or should I pass it? Miami Heat, because there's a lot of indecision, and I would say a loss of confidence with the Miami Heat.
And the
Pacers and the Sixers coaches are very, very good at exploiting the weaknesses of both those teams, meaning the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics.
Let me go
to the Celtics first. I got to hand it to Doug Collins. I loved Doug Collins when he was a player. I love him even more as a very, very extremely underrated head coach. He reverted to an old tactic that the old Celtics used to do and took especially Kevin Garnett completely out of his game. And that caused him to win the game. They started getting physical. They started doing little ticky-tack things to him. The refs were letting him get away with it. And it got into the head of Kevin Garnett, and that permeated to the rest of the team, took him out of the game, and helped the Sixers to win against the supposedly wily, experienced champion Celtics. And that's all because Doug Collins said, this is what we got to do. And the Elton Brand and company bought into it, and it got him a win and got him even with the series. The other coach in Indiana, these guys are doing amazing jobs with their teams against the supposed insurmountable odds against Boston and against the Miami Heat. It's going to be very interesting going forward to see who's going to rise up and get outcoached in both these series.
Well, it's funny you say that because Dwayne Wade went off on Spolza. I can't remember the head coach of Miami's name.
Spolstra.
Yeah, Spolstra. He won't be there next year probably, but I don't care if they did sign him to an extension. He went off on him towards the end of the game because he was like, what's going on? Why no fouls? You know, da-da-da-da-da. But let's hear from Mr. Hibbert, former Georgetown Hoya,
on how complete
the Pacers are versus the Heat.
We're not the traditional, you know, quiet team, this, that, and the other. We like to, you know, we joke around, we like to have fun, but when it's time for game time, we're serious. The guys on the court are competing, the guys on the bench, they like to to get in other players' heads and, you know, try to make things difficult for them. And I think we're just a complete team.
So when you look at stuff like that, you don't have that. And you guys, the crew, on Thursday talked about how, you know, LeBron's looking back at the bench, you know, when he misses a free throw and he's looking for support there. And I'm not sure if it was you or Black who said it, but...
I said that.
Well, also this, too, about Chris Bosh. If they lose this series, will it show just how valuable Chris Bosh is to the Heat instead of being just the extra third wheel? Because they don't have that inside presence. Why? Because they don't have the money to pay for the inside presence because they've put it all in the big three. One of the big three is down indefinitely, and LeBron's not stepping up. Wade can't do it all. I mean, what's going on, Jerry?
Well, you know, and I can't remember what show or radio program I heard this on. I think I heard on one of the sports stations when I was driving home yesterday. The suggestion came up. One guy was talking to the other about if Miami happens to lose this series against the Sixers, against the Indiana Pacers, does one of the big three get traded? And who gets traded? Who's going to go out the door? Is it Dwayne Wade, who happens to be the so beloved and the mayor, and who's won a championship in Miami? I think that's the only one of the three that would be walking out the door. And the reason I'm saying that is this, and a guy brought up a good point, is because does it look like, and I think we talked about this on either yesterday or Thursday, that Dwayne Wade is pretty much supposedly be the closer. When he won the championship, he was a closer. Before LeBron and Chris Bosh came there, he was the closer. It was mixed up last year of who was going to be the closer between LeBron and Dwayne Wade. And supposedly they got all that worked out, but it seems like this year Dwayne Wade is deferring to LeBron James, but LeBron James is not made up like that to be the guy at the end of the game. He may bring him to a spot, just like we talked about last night. He may bring him back, meaning LeBron James. He may bring him back if they're in a deficit, but to be the closer, it seems like Dwayne Wade is. And it shouldn't be, but it looks like he's confused about what his role is near the end of the game. It's not the same Dwayne Wade that we're used to seeing before these two. I'm talking about Chris Bosh and LeBron James came to the team. He doesn't seem like he wants to take control and take the ball and be the man at the end of the game. He seems like he's deferring, just like LeBron deferring, and it's screwed up. That's why I had said earlier, I'm going a little further, but that's why I said earlier on whatever show I said it on, Indiana needs to make it an ugly game, keep it close, because this is what happens when it gets close. These two guys, the whole team, especially LeBron, don't know what to do, get choked up, the loins get rolled up into the sacks, and they have no balls about taking control of the game when it needs to be taken. And if you're a big-time player, you're supposed to be the MVP. We talked about this yesterday. MVP-type player, you're supposed to be the man, the king, the chosen one. You're supposed to take the ball, demand the ball at the end of the game. When it's close, I'm the man. I'm going to take the shot. If I make it, we win. If I don't make it, at least I'm the one who took the shot. I'll put it on me. But he doesn't even take it. He doesn't get the opportunity. He passes it off to somebody else. And Dwayne Wade has fallen into that LeBron disease. I don't know why, but somebody's
well,
going to have.
Black says the same thing. Black says flopping on South Beach, the series. Bron is rubbing off on Wade. Wade
yep.
turning soft.
Yep.
Now you and Mac were talking about this yesterday
yep.
on No Chaser,
yep.
and which airs every Friday. Friday night at 7 p.m.
Yes.
Had a debut last night. Check it out.
Yes.
But it's, to me, and I think you're wrong on who gets traded. The reason why I say this is because I believe Dwayne Wade is the heart of the Miami Heat right now. And if you take him out of there, people are going to turn so quick on LeBron James, it's going to be ridiculous, and the Heat attendance will go down. In my opinion, Chris Bosh would be the person they would trade if something went wrong. Why? He just got injured. Two, he's a big guy. Three, they feel he's replaceable, whereas the other two, it's like Batman and Robin or Yin and Yang. You got to have them both. So to me, it would be, if that were the scenario, Chris Bosh would be the one that would get traded. It will be some money off of their cap. They could bring in a decent player or a decent set of players to be rebound guys. You know, I mean, all you need is somebody to get boards. Let the other two shoot. Bring in, you know, you got a couple other guys on the team that can shoot too. You got some young guys on the team that can shoot. But let them be your shooters. Just get somebody to get boards, and you ship Bosh off. Bosh can go and star and be the center of attention of some other team. All they got to do is feed him the ball. He hasn't had that since he's been with the Heat. He had to complain last year about getting, you know, some time and getting some plays called for him in the playoffs. And when they gave it to him, he responded and showed that, yeah, it's his job. He can do it. But to me, he would be the one that would get the boot if they did that. I'm not saying they should, but somebody's got to go, and I think it starts with the head coach next year. And I have to recant on my previous statement, I believe a Saturday or so ago, that the Heat are going to win. Of course, they're not going to sweep them because it's too late for that, but the Pacers actually might win this thing, and we might see an old school East Finals, Pacers and 76ers, you know, taking it back to the days of Julius Irving and Reggie Miller was not back with Julius Irving, but, you know, the throwbacks with Chris Mullin and all those other cats with the Pacers going, you know, that era. But I still believe, just as you, that it's going to be the OKC or whoever comes out the West winning the championship. Talk to me, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem I have, if they take Chris Bosh, you see what type of problem they're having without Chris Bosh in the lineup. They have no big presence, and it's killing them. It's definitely hurting them. They don't have no big presence, no offensive threat or defensive force in the middle to contend with the bigs of Indiana, especially Hibbert. Hibbert's having his own way because there's really nobody to defend him, and he doesn't have anybody to defend because Chris Bosh is not out there. So when you say that you think once a healthy Chris Bosh is going to be should be traded if they go down in a series, then you're telling me that the Miami Heat are going to take a step back. I truly believe if they get rid of their big man, Chris Bosh, they're going to take a step back unless they get a prime time player in the middle to take up what they've lost in Chris Bosh.
Yeah, they can get in the draft. There's a couple big guys in the draft that I see that are available that they can put in there and let get groomed. Black says, because, again, he's in the chat room, no loyalty to Wade. Bron more valuable to the franchise. Riley isn't crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wade and Bosh being traded,
mm-hmm.
team will be structured around LeBron. I mean, a lot of people think that, and it did Cleveland some good, but, I mean, it might work, because if you give LeBron Bosh, and they can feed Bosh and let LeBron do his thing from time to time, and they got those young cats out there shooting, Chalmers and some other guys shooting.
It won't make a difference. It won't make a difference.
Where will Wade get traded to, though? That's my question.
Wait a minute. Before we go there, it won't make a difference. Who is traded? Who comes to this team? The problem is this, and all the LeBron lovers, all the LeBron worshippers, don't want to see it or blind to it. He's got the no balls disease. He has he's not a guy. It's not in his genes. We talked about this extensively yesterday. It's not in his genes. I don't care. And it permeates and it goes viral through the whole team. When LeBron James, it happened when he was in Cleveland, and it's happening again in Miami. The excuse was in Cleveland, he didn't have anybody. It was just LeBron. They went to the championship. If LeBron had stayed there, they could have put more pieces around him, tweaked the team, and it would have been a team to be reckoned with. But LeBron, impatient, thinking, well, they're never going to put the players around me in Cleveland. I'm going to go with my buddies to Miami, and it'll be easy because it'll be all three of us, and we'll be able to get a championship, and I don't have to be the man. Well, hello there, Queen of Hearts. You are the man. You're getting paid all this. You labeled yourself the chosen one, the king. Crunch time, you run away. You run away and go home and leave the ball to the other teammates on your team to win the game. You can't do that. It's not happening. It's going to happen with whoever is on this team. LeBron James is one of those players, big-time players, that doesn't have that clutch gene. He has everything else, but he doesn't have the clutch gene. The clutch gene, I want the ball, I'm taking the shot. He doesn't have that in his makeup. He'll never have that in his makeup. It's been proven over 9 years. What kind of sample do you need? You got 9 years worth of sample. He doesn't have it.
Well,
and any teammate better be ready for that. He doesn't have it.
Well, Black says he's given an acronym to what you said, SNS. So whenever SND, what do you put? SNS, shrinking nut syndrome. Now I'm not going to go that far. I'm just quoting what the gentleman's saying in the chat room. He happens to be a part of the show, but I'm just quoting what he's saying. Now look, I've never been a LeBron James hater or one to openly criticize everything he does. I don't think it's fair because we're not in his shoes. However, from a fan standpoint, from an analyst standpoint, it's something that says to me he needs to find a way to make his mark. Max said it best on the show yesterday. You know, Jordan has his mark. Isaiah Thomas has his mark. You know, they make commercials about these guys and these particular plays. Magic had his mark.
Larry Bird has his mark. Come on.
Exactly.
Come on.
Reggie Miller had his mark against
right.
the Knicks. Sorry about your Knicks on that one. But
it's all right.
But LeBron does not have that mark. And it's 9 years in. When is he going to have that mark? And when is he going to be the dominant player that he can be and should be? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully, the SNS doesn't take place. And, you know, he's not Black. No, Black says that Bron is Clyde Drexler pre-championships. Now,
yes, I can believe that. Yes.
Clyde had a king. Clyde had a king all that time. So is fly slammer jammer or whatever it is, you know, he had a king down there in Houston, and when he was in Portland, he did his thing.
Well,
you know, Portland just didn't have a lot to work with at the time.
Well, listen to me. Listen, listen to what you're saying.
I know what I just said.
Listen to what you're saying. Now, Clyde, even when it was Houston, they were great front running teams. They slam five slam a jammer when they were up and slamming the ball and doing all kinds of
acrobatics,
whatever. But when a game got close in Houston, a lot of times those guys could not handle the pressure being in close games. They did win championships because they finally got over the hump, finally realized what they needed to do to win championships. Some guys just don't have that in their makeup. LeBron, for, and we talked about this last night, for some reason, all these other superstars that have won championships or are willing to take the shot, and they're superstars, consider superstars, take the shot. Don't defer to someone else. Don't pass it off. This is the only guy that I've seen that is so gifted. I don't hate LeBron. I think he's overrated. Because the fact is, overrated because he does not rise up to the opportunity when he should, when it counts the most for his team. He defers to someone else. He doesn't want to take that pressure shot, and that, to me, is not indicative of a prime time player. He's good. He's a good front running player. He's a good player when you're up by 5-10 points with either 2 minutes left in the game or whatever like that. But if it gets close, that SNS starts kicking in, and it starts passing the ball to somebody else. I don't want nothing to do with it. I brought you here. Somebody else take me home.
Well, we're about to go to somebody else real quick.
Okay.
Because we got a caller from the 202.
Okay.
And it says Black is still in the chat room. I don't think it's him. I think it might be Mac, but let me pull him in.
Okay.
Caller from the 202, please state your name. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Caller from the 202. 758. Welcome to the show. Going once, going twice. Back on mute, my brother or sister. Whoever it is. All right. Well, hey, if you want to chime in, you can always dial 347-637-3220. Again, the number's 347-637-3220. And at the same time, if you're in the chat room or if you're on the phone line and you don't want to talk, that's cool. Just hit 1, and we'll go ahead and get you on the air. What you need to do, though, Jerry, ATM, is expound a little bit on the 76ers and Celtics game real quick for me, if you can.
Okay, this is the deal. Pretty much the Boston Celtics were controlling this game. It looked like it was going to be going up 3-1. I'll give you a brief synopsis. They came out in the second half of this game. And I guess there was consensus on the Celtics, no, excuse me, the 76ers, that we're going to go down like this. Slapping hands, being more physical, playing the game like the old Boston Celtics used to play the finesse-minded Lakers. If you watch old championship basketball between the Lakers and the Boston Celtics, this is a classic example of what the 76ers decided to do with the Boston Celtics. They decided to get physical with him, get ticky-tack with him, try to take him out of the game, and that's exactly what I said before. That's exactly what they did. It started with Kevin Garnett, and it permeated throughout the whole team, took him out of the game. Even Doc Rivers said it. You know, they're down. He said the 76ers were down. They come out in the second half. What do you expect them to do? They were going to scratch and claw to try to get back into the game, which they did. And in conclusion, they won the game because they took the Celtics out of what was making them work in the first half. And Doc Rivers also said he was disappointed because his team fell into it and couldn't get out of it. And I expect this game to be the rest of these games to be more physical, more ticky-tack as each game goes on, because these guys do not like each other they don't like each other. I can tell you that they don't like each other, and it's only going to get worse as the games get further down. So,
well, Black is contributing as usual. He says, that Drew Holiday and Lou Williams comprise a very quick guard combo for the 76ers, which I agree with. Now, the thing I see is the changing of the guard, because you mentioned this a little earlier, that the young is out with the old and with the new, in a sense, that these young cats are they're stepping up. Elton Brand finally has shown that he can be a quality player in this league, you know, from the time he left Duke. I mean, I've said it before, I think all Duke products are doo-doo. Grant Hill is the only one that's lasted the longest in the NBA, even with all of his injuries and stuff like that. I mean, he's got Tamia for a wife, so he got to, you know, take care of her. But, you know, other than that, there hasn't been too many Duke products that have stayed in the NBA for a long period of time. Luol Deng is proving that you can do it, but not too many. So I think the 76ers, under Doug Collins, who is a very good coach and has a young team that is willing to listen and not do their own thing, they have a great shot. I mean, they were leading the East for half of the season until they fell off. And I think that was a good thing because people forgot about them. They barely made the playoffs at the eighth seed, if I'm not mistaken. But they're not a bad team. So, with that
no, they're
said,
not. They are not a bad team. And I have to give it to Doug Collins. I'm telling you, he's a very underrated coach. He's been around the block. He's done the coaching thing. He's done the player thing, done the coaching thing, been an analyst for years, and now he's back to coaching. He's a hell of a coach. I got a lot of respect for Doug Collins, and he's got these guys bought in and tuned in to playing his type of basketball. And I just have to – it's going to be exciting. Let me put it that way. The remainder of these East playoffs are going to be pretty exciting. And I can't wait to watch the rest of the playoffs, especially in
the East. That's pretty much what Black said too. Pretty much, I mean, that sums up what he typed in the chat room. So we're gonna make a quick transition, take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk some football. George Benson, what's he got to say about Drew Brees? We'll see you in a minute. Stick and stay with me. It's your boy FSP and Jerry ATM Taylor.
Indu Studio 9 and Corrupted Nature Entertainment presents Wasted Wednesday's Reggae Hip Hop Showcase, hosted by D-Champ CEO, with 93.9's DJ Analyze on the ones and twos, starting Wednesday, April 25th, and every Wednesday following at Ross Lounge, 4809 Georgia Avenue, Northwest. Doors open at 9, ladies free till 11, and $5 after. Men $10 all night, $3 Ross Punch, $100 bottles, and group of 5 females get a free bottle of champagne. 21 and up to enter. For showcase sign up, contact D-Champ at 202-440-6550. Be there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back from the commercial break. Get your bottles, pop your bottles and your models, I guess. I'm not a bottle popper and all that other good stuff. But we'll see what happens. Right now, there's a big issue going on in the NFL or in Vegas, in Las Vegas. There's a big summit going on about concussions, hence issues with the old people. Not saying old people, but we Art Monk and several others have started to sue the NFL over their pay and things of that nature. But here's a quick snippet about the summit on concussions happening in Vegas.
The times when I was under that spell of a concussion was treated normal. You know, it was like, hey, just be able to get up.
And that's the old way of looking at things back in the day for these older players. You know, it was, can you walk? Can you see me? How many fingers am I holding up? All right, he's good to go, coach. And with the concern about long-term issues going on, the NFL is trying to take a stance and focus on how to prevent these things. Now, that transitions us into New Orleans, of course, and what's going on there. Again, last night on No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, every Friday, 7 p.m., you guys talked about how Jonathan Vilma, you know, is suing Roger Goodell, not the NFL, but Roger Goodell for not adjudicating his case properly. Not saying that Vilma caused concussions, but the play that is being deemed dirty by Greg Williams and his players, some may have led to long-term injuries and possibly career-ending injuries. Talk to me, Jerry, about, you know, that situation.
Well, he's suing him for defamation of character, and he's also said that he didn't pay anybody to intentionally hurt anyone on the field. That's paraphrasing what he basically said. And you know, he wants to see the evidence. He's basically telling the commissioner, you show me where I actually did this. Prove it that I actually did what you said I did to suspend me for 1 year. He called the commissioner out. It's up to filed in federal court. So I don't know if it's an attempt to play this year. I don't know if it's going to come to fruition that he's going to be able to play. But maybe he thinks he may be able to get a stay before the case gets heard, so he can put some playing time in this year. Everyone, I guess, in the legal sense, thinks that this is grasping at straws, that he's probably not going to get anywhere with this. But, I mean, what does a man have to lose? He's lost a year. A year of playing time, which is very valuable for an NFL player,
especially his age.
Exactly. Plus the economic hit of a year's loss of salary. Besides playing time, at his age, like you said. So if I was him, I probably would have done the same thing. I think it's not right anyway that he got suspended for a year. I said this last night. I keep on saying it. This was institutionalized from the GM to the head coach to the defensive coordinator, even the assistant head coach, Joe Vitt, who getting six games before he can come back. Got suspended for all this. So he's a player. The other guys I talked about were an authority over the player. If the player didn't adhere to what they were talking about, team policy, that player wouldn't played, and he may not even been on the team, and may even, which it has happened, get blackballed for not being a so-called team player for one reason or another. So I'm not saying that he's completely a victim, but when you have the management, so-called management, involved in this bounty gate, you can't, you can, because obviously the commissioner has, but you can't take a guy out of the game for a year. That's unheard of. That's crazy. Unheard of for something that's supposedly supposedly the only persons who have the evidence is the commissioner, but now he wants to see the evidence himself. Show me, and I'm saying I'm Jonathan Vilma talking to the commissioner. You show me wherever the evidence you have that I actually did this. Prove it to me. Show me.
I think that Vilma is actually challenging Goodell in open forum. Because, you know, so many people have said he's this bad guy, he does this, that, and the third, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But he's taking a stance because he's tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might be the smiling guy on the outside and the hammer, you know, behind closed doors because it's part of his job. I understand that. I have to do
mm-hmm.
that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the burden of proof, it absolutely lies on Roger Goodell to show a burden of proof as to why Jonathan Vilmas being suspended for a year and being accused of so many things. Will it settle out of court? Probably, if they actually have proof and say, well, look, if you want to keep going this way, we got this statement, we got this, that, and the third, who, and these guys are willing to testify in open court that they saw you do this, da-da-da. So what that then does, it throws a lot of people under the bus. It throws a lot of people under the bus, and it becomes an issue of, okay, well, look, who's really the snitch? Warren Sapp thought he was going to get sued by Jeremy Shockey because he said Jeremy Shockey. By the way, I like Warren Sapp. His contract's about to expire with the NFL Network. And did you know that Warren Sapp is about to become a judge?
Yes.
On his own TV show? Okay.
Yes, I knew that, yes.
Okay, so I throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that, you know, so many players have said that, well, you know, Roger Goodell's this, Roger Goodell's that. And Vilma is the only one stepping up to the plate and actually challenging him, not the NFL, but him, for the things that he's done and said towards a player. Now, it can become real nasty, but hopefully they settle this out of court and doesn't go that route. Right now we got a caller from the 240 on the line. I think it's my cousin. I'm not sure, but I'm going to bring him on here. Caller from the 240. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name.
It's not easy being green.
I know you love that dude now.
Yellow,
I've seen all
purple,
your posts.
Or blue.
I keep seeing your posts. You sound like Kermit D. Frog, me, Kyle. What's going on,
that would be you, Slim. That would be you, Slim.
Whatever.
What's going on, man? I see you still talking about this fracking ackle bull. Hey, you know what? I applaud Vilma because the NFL Players Association, they just rolled over.
Yep.
You know, nobody's really standing up, and he's the only one standing up. And you know what? Somebody really needs to stand up to Goodell because he's off the chain. He has lost his mind. He is in so many hypocritical positions it doesn't even make any sense, and nobody's challenging him. I want to see this evidence too. I really want to see it. And like you said, everybody's going to go up under the bus. Everyone. Because the NFL needs to go up under the bus for this. Because this is just ridiculous. This is just plain out ridiculous. It's football. This is football. And it's been football. They've been playing like this. They've been doing crap like this for years and years and years. And now you want to clean it up. Oh, okay. You want to clean it up so you can make it look good, so you can make it look good when you're in that court case against all them ex-players that got head injuries and whatnot. Really? Okay.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike, because I know we didn't get you last week or the week before. But what do you think about the decision by the Seau family not to disclose whether or not they're going to give Junior Seau's brain over to the institute to examine? And
that's their business.
Wait a minute. Do you think he shot himself in the chest and the heart like Dave Durison so that someone could study his brain?
No, I think that man shot himself in the chest because he was depressed. Duh. He was, you know, he had issues. Duh. No. I'm not even going that route. And I applaud the family. Keep it private. Keep, you know what I'm saying? Keep everything, you know, respectable. Because this circus is going on for too long. It just needs to stop. It really needs to stop. And he just needs to rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Protect his legacy. Protect everything that he worked hard for in his life. You know what I'm saying? Let it rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Because if his head, you know, if his brain go to someplace else and it becomes a circus that they looked at his brain and all this kind of carrying on, that's just too much. It's just too much. I'm gonna push mute because this plane is flying over me.
Okay, not a problem. Well, I'm glad you're on the line too, because I don't know if you heard me when I told everybody else, but I will be in there in D.C., from the 26th to the 29th of June, and we're all supposed to be headed to Six Flags that 29th or that Saturday, whatever day that Saturday is.
Oh, you headed You headed to ghetto Redskin Lane.
I need you to send me that number to that hotel.
So I get it from my wife. I'll let you know.
Okay.
But hey, maybe you can verify this, because I know Black. He said he couldn't verify it right now. But the concierge at the hotel my wife booked the reservations at said that there's a casino that's set to open in Arundel County on the 6th of June. What do you know about that?
Yeah, they hashing out over that. It's a casino there, and PG County is trying to get their set up, but it's being met with a whole bunch of fight. They're trying to get it set up over there down by the harbor. But as far as that joint down in Anne Arundel, I don't know if it's gonna be up or open, but I know that they voted on it and it got approved and they should be building it. I don't know exactly the date that it'll be up and open, but it is true that there will be one in Anne Arundel, which has prompted PG County to try to step up and get into the game. But I don't know if it's gonna fly.
Well, I mean, I just want to know because Jerry and I like to take visits to places like that.
So, oh, really?
I was told that it will be open on June 6th. So that makes me happy.
I like to go places like that purely as a tourist, just to see what the casinos look like inside.
Oh, just to see what they look like inside, really?
Okay. Yeah, I believe that one there. Okay, now.
Well, believe it or not, you will never catch me in a place like that. You'll never catch me dead or alive in a place like that, ever.
Okay. It's okay. I mean, it takes all types. I just want to go for the scenery.
Really?
The
scenery.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
They have a very, very joyous scenery inside the casino, and me being a positive type of person, I like to be involved in things like
that. For some reason, now that I'm on the line with you guys, I'm smelling a lot of mulch.
Oh, for real?
Smelling a lot of mulch. For real?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me play a little bit more mulch for you then. Tom Benson believes that Drew Brees is going to be a saint for the rest of his career. Let's hear what Tom Benson has to say.
I talked to Drew Brees, it wasn't too long ago. He and I always have nice conversations. His agent and us and Mickey Loomis primarily are trying to work out the details. There's money involved, and two people have some difference of opinion, but it's going to be worked out. I assure you that Drew Brees will be playing here.
Now, I know on Thursday's show, FSB Crew show, every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you guys talked about the fact, well, Black brought up the fact that Drew might sit out the whole season. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, because I just don't believe that'll happen, in my opinion. But Mr. Benson says he assures everybody that Drew's going to play there. Do you think, and I'm asking Jerry, then Mike, you can jump in too, do you think that gives too much leverage to Drew Brees to say, well, he says I'm going to play this year? Okay, let's see if he caves into this demand then. Does that give the player too much power, or do you think Benson already has something in place and he's going to let Drew rest a bit and then bring him in?
Let me tell you. I'll start it like this. Drew Brees is not going to sign his tender. He went through that before, and it cost him a big contract when he was in San Diego. He is not going to sign his tender. He's going to sign on the dotted line when they have a long-term contract in front of him. So if it's going to take, in my opinion, I think he's willing to do this. If it's going to take him sitting out, and if it happens to be the whole year, sitting out, he'll do that, because the fact is he got hurt the last time in this situation, and he's not going to go through that and take that chance again. So either you sign me or you face the consequences of the PR consequences and the consequences of me not playing.
Absolutely true. I agree with you on that. What do you got, Mike?
I don't think that statement gives more leverage to Brees for the simple fact that he already has the leverage.
Right.
I mean, the Saints cannot afford to allow this, you know, allow him to get away. They have got to give him just about whatever in the hell he wants, because they got so much stuff going on, you know, from the GM to the coach to the assistant head coach. The last thing they need is their star quarterback not signing on the dotted line or not signing his tender. You know what I'm saying? They are going to sign him. I think what he's doing is just reassuring the fans that they're going to do whatever they can do possible to get him there. And I say that they need to go far and beyond possible. They need to step into the realm of impossibility to make sure they get this boy signed. Because he just, right now, I really believe that he has them really over the barrel. Really. They just need to open up the pocket and give it to him.
So do you think he's a $100 million quarterback? Do you think he's in that Brady Manning stratosphere as far as pay grade goes?
I think he's in that stratosphere. He's on the lower tier of that stratosphere, but he's definitely there. He's definitely there.
There's no doubt in my mind. He's there.
Right.
What he means to that city and that team, he is definitely there.
Right. With the added pressure that New Orleans is under, he definitely gonna get a contract close to Peyton or maybe even more.
I hope so and I think so too, because I see another quarterback in Seattle that has the same potential as Drew Brees, maybe an inch or two shorter, but I'm talking about Russell Wilson.
What?
Formerly of Wisconsin. I see the potential for him to be a Drew Brees type of quarterback in that situation, because Drew came out of Purdue undersized but a good decision maker. He was labeled a manager. Got under Marty Schottenheimer, ran the Damon Thompson to death, and then they decided, okay, we're going to let him throw a little bit. So then he started throwing, making better decisions, getting the ball where it's supposed to be, making San Diego relevant along with LT. Then he goes down to New Orleans, gets with a great coach in Sean Payton, and a perfect offense for him, and stars. I'm making the correlation because Russell Wilson is that bright. He is that smart. He holds the NCAA record for accuracy and things of that nature. And he's only 5'10". He's what, a quarter of an inch taller than me, because I'm shrinking at my age of 36. But he's a quarter of an inch taller than me. I've met Drew Brees. Drew Brees is about 6 foot, 6'1". He's not that much taller. But I think Wilson has the ability to be just as good as Drew Brees, given the right situation and the right circumstances, just as Drew had the right situation and the right circumstances. Can I get a little bit of playback on what I just said?
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm not buying that till I see him play.
Okay.
I have to totally agree with Mikal. Russell Wilson, and I'll paraphrase, I'll say what he said. Really? Russell Wilson?
Really?
Whatever.
Come on. You threw me for a loop for there. That's one for fantasy baseball. That's a home run, man. That's a grand slam you're trying to hit with that. Well, I mean, what's up with that? Russell Wilson? Really?
The reason why I say that is because you don't normally have a third round draft pick challenging for the starting job. Now, granted, you got Flynn and you got Jackson up there, and especially a head coach and an organization should never, especially after paying somebody in the offseason all the money they did, you know, to a free agent, draft a third-round quarterback and say, well, this kid has the goods, and he's actually going to challenge for the starting job. Now, that might be a smokescreen, but I actually think the kid has the ability to do it.
That's a typical Pete Carroll move. Pete Carroll talks up everybody. He's the type of coach whenever he has a player that someone has a question about, he always comes up with the glass-half-full type of thing. So
I mean, you don't recognize this act that Pete Carroll's done before about players that he's acquired or traded for or drafted. He always pumps up his players as the next best thing. Quite naturally, when they got Matt Flynn, he did the same thing, and he's saying Tavares Jackson, this could be his breakout year, whatever he was saying, crazy. So Russell Wilson, he got drafted as a third quarterback, and that's probably what he's going to do. He's probably going to have to sit back and learn and see who's going to jump in the ring and win whatever battle between Tavares Jackson and Matt Flynn's going to come about. So
yeah,
Russell Wilson, I don't see it, man. I really don't see that.
I'm buying what Jerry's saying. Definitely. I mean, Pete Carroll, from an organizational standpoint, you know, this is a quarterback-driven league, so I see them stockpiling quarterbacks over there, and you know, now they've got, you know, three guys that they really unsure about. You know, Flynn, he's got the potential, but you know, he hasn't been in his own setting yet. You got Tavares, you know. He's still got questions. It could be his year. Maybe, maybe not. Now you got this youngster coming in here. I mean, I think they're trying to shop around and see who their guy is. So I'll buy it. He's going to have to stay there and hold the clipboard for at least 2 or 3 years unless he can get into another situation.
Okay. Well, I kind of disagree with you guys. I'm actually going to be able to see this kid live and in person when I make my transition to my new place of residence, because I will be going to some Oakland Raider games and maybe a few 49er games. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think he has the opportunity to do well. But I only brought him up because we're talking about Drew Brees, and I was trying to make the comparison between the two. Now, we got about, 13 minutes left of live air. I don't really see us going to overtime, but you never know. So we say, oh, hell for. what I want to get into right now, real quickly, before we go to any other subject matter, I want to get to fantasy baseball. last week I took an L from Jerry Taylor.
Wait a minute, say that again? Say that again. Say it again a little louder. Say it again a little louder, because I want everybody to hear this.
It was not the best performance by my team, but also he had Josh Hamilton, who just went off last week. But I'm not going to put anything on that. The bottom line is I lost. This week I'm in a tough battle versus T-Town, and I'm winning. It's a seesaw. One day I'm winning, one day I'm losing, one day I'm winning, one day I'm losing. And Jerry, pretty much the same situation. But let's talk about some of these surprise pitchers and players that we're all picking up. I'm going to start off by saying I picked up Derek Lowe this week off of waivers. Derek Lowe just so happened to be a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians, former pitcher of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I believe he even pitched for the A's, for the Angels at one point. I'm not sure.
Yes, he did.
But he was 4-1 on the waiver wire. I probably picked him up. He won his last game, and then he won again, I believe, last night. And I got a gem off the pitcher for the pitchers because I'm in need of better pitching. My bats are superb. Let's see, better pitching. Jerry, on the other hand, he's trying to stockpile his team with WMDs, weapons of mass destruction. And he has a stacked lineup. I'm not going to lie. And he's sending out these bogus trades to people, you know, like he's going to send them some garbage for this.
I have no garbage. If you look at my lineup, is solid.
I didn't say you had garbage. I said, okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Let me put it this way. Right now I have three players on the DL, and I'm still kicking butt. I have three players that I put in and out of the lineup several times, and I'm still kicking butt. I don't put out bogus trades. I look at a team just like yours. I look at a team that has a need, and I knew you needed pitchers. So I gave you a solid offer. Justin Verlander and one other guy from Matt Kemp, and I can't believe, because Justin Verlander just almost picked, he pitched a one-hitter, 12 Ks last night. And you did not take it. Listen.
I'm calling one of your trades bogus because this was from Living in a Hole. He said he messaged me the other day and said that your man, the master plan, is he on crack? He's giving me this crap deal. I was like, no, Jerry's just Jerry. He's like, he's got a problem. I was like, no. But go ahead, finish your statement.
Well, let me put it this way. I put feelers out there, okay? And just because I put a, just like anybody else, put a trade out, it doesn't mean it's locked in stone. You want to make a counteroffer? Make a counteroffer. I've sent emails for the last couple of weeks that I'm open for trading. Give me any offers will be considered. Now, have I not said that? And some of the offers I've gotten are like, you got to be kidding me. Guys that they've been sitting on a bench being offered for prime time players that I have. That's absolutely crazy. So, I go to the waiver wire, and it's like easy pickings. I hate to say it, Macau, but it's been easy pickings. This is my first season of ever playing fantasy baseball. And
his mom helped him.
Huh?
I said, and your mom helped you.
No, my mom. Stop. Stop. Anyway, and I can't believe how I, first of all, my draft went well. Second of all, I made a couple of trades, and they paid off big time. And the others is I've worked the waiver wire. I've worked the free agents that sit on the benches, and I've done my homework and picked up pitching that has been sitting out there and no one's jumped on, and I've picked them up, and it's paid off, and it's paid off in, I would say, let me put it this way, it's paid off in spades. I mean, it really has. So, I mean, when he says I've had a lineup of weapons of mass destruction, he's absolutely right, because I have a very strong pitching staff, which I'm not even going to touch anymore unless somebody gets hurt. So the pitchers I have are the pitchers. You won't see me doing any kind of waiver wire work with the pitchers, because I love my pitching staff right now. So
it's a good team. It's a good team. It's all right.
See, you neglected to tell them. I've been in first place since the first week.
I didn't have to tell him because I said that last week. I didn't need to repeat that garbage.
Well, he wasn't here last week. Remember that. Remember, he wasn't here last week. So I wanted to inform the brother. I wanted to inform the brother that your cousin is hot garbage.
Oh, whatever. No, I'm not, dude. No, I'm not. He ain't even paying attention. So that shows you how much this matters. But the bottom line is, we're having a good time in fantasy baseball. Give the folks out there one player that you see on the rise and they should probably get before the All-Star break. Pitcher or bat, it doesn't matter.
I tell you right now, the guy I picked up, the last pitcher I picked up, not the last pitcher, the last starting pitcher I picked up. Nope, the guy's been sitting on a waiver wire. He's only, I think, maybe 20% owned in Yahoo leagues. I'm talking about the pitcher that just came up, 39-year-old, Andy Pettit. He pitched a gem last night, his second game back from being away for a year and a half approximately. He's only going to get better. That lineup is only going to get better when they start scoring runs. I like Andy Pettit a lot.
Okay. Well, he's always done well in the pinstripes. The bats are going to help him, but I don't know if Pettit is going to have his head on completely because he's doing the Roger Clemens thing, whereas three jurors have been, you know, dismissed because they're falling asleep during the daggone trial, but it is what it is there.
Can I give one other thing that I'm going to ask you a question about fantasy baseball?
Yeah, we got 5 minutes left live there. Go ahead.
This is real quick. In this league that we're having, we have 21 categories 11 pitching, 10 mm-hmm. on the offensive side.
Yes.
If you're in this league, you're listening, you just like I am, you load up on your pitchers because your majority of your categories is in pitching. If you can dominate most of them in the pitching categories, you can win almost every week. That's the key that I feel is in this league. Now, the question I wanted to ask you is, you asked me who would be a surprise player. I'm getting it back to you. Give me your opinion on who you think would be a player going forward, pitcher or regular player.
Well, I already gave the pitcher, which was Derek Lowe. I mean, he's only owning 18% of Yahoo leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right now, I believe, 5-1, 6-1. A bat, if you want to go with a bat, I think a decent bat right now is LaCroix. He's a catcher for Milwaukee.
Okay.
And he's a decent bat. He's batting in the mid to high 300s. He's always in the lineup. And if you're looking for a catcher, you know, because catchers aren't all that big and powerful. You know, you don't get that many hits from catchers. Martinez is out for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
For Detroit. And he was like the biggest hit threat. And I never get his name right.
Right.
For Texas. He's like the next best thing, and other than that, we don't have too many good catchers. Buster Posey's okay, but he's not back to form. San Fran's not back to form. So a series that's looking really good to me, and a lot of folks are saying they're surprised by, is the Nationals and the Orioles.
They don't like each other.
Well, that too, and the fact that it was a 2-1 game,
right,
which signified a pitcher's duel, in my opinion, you know, from the Orioles as well as the Nationals, that's a lot. You know, considering both teams weren't supposed to do well this year. Black and a couple other folks came here and said, yeah, the Nationals, you know, they're going to do extremely well this year. They're leading the AL East. So, and you picked up a guy you picked up that I thought I had my eye on, but you got him before me, was Desmond. Shortstop.
Yes. Ian Desmond,
the shortstop
absolutely.
For Washington.
I couldn't believe he was sitting out there. See, that's – I'm amazed.
Well, I didn't need him. That's the problem.
Well,
I didn't need him. That's why I didn't go after him.
Well,
you know,
I look out on the waiver wire, and I couldn't believe – and I really didn't really want to – I wanted to pick him up, but I really didn't want to pick him up with Derek Lowe. I forget who got rid of him. I couldn't believe – he got rid of a guy that was like 3-1, 4-1, and he was pitching well. Whoever was in our league got rid of Derek Lowe. Was like, you got to be kidding me. And let me put it this way, Vic. I'm going to give you a little tidbit. This guy just got dumped today, if I'm not mistaken, which is like beyond me why this guy would dump this guy, even though he's on a not so good team.
I know Nolasco. I already saw it.
No.
Oh, you know, come on, Nolasco?
No, I'm talking about the guy who's in last place in the West, Grasshopping Gigolos, got rid of James McDonald, the pitcher from Pittsburgh. Why would you drop him for Vernon Wells? That makes no sense to me, but I don't know. Things like that these guys are doing are mind-boggling, and mind-boggling. That's what I'm saying. When I say this is too easy, some of these moves these guys are making are panic moves or whatever, and I wouldn't be dropping a good pitcher like this for Vernon Wells. That makes no sense.
Maybe he thinks Vernon's going to get hot and help his bats out. I don't know, but I'm stockpiling on a decent pitcher. I just picked up Vogelsong that you dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, and he's pitching today, so hopefully he does well. If not, he'll just go back on the market. I didn't pay much for him, so I'm not worried about it. But we're going to be off live air in 30 seconds. I want to do this real quick. We have 5 shows on this radio network that we call FSP Radio. this is just one of them. What I'm going to do right now, since I got 20 seconds left, is I'm going to really go down them real quick. FSP right here, Fantasy Sports Politics on Saturday. Sunday, The Master Plan. Tuesday, Compassion Bikini. Thursday, FSP Crucial. Friday, No Chaser. Check them out. Now, with that being said, we're in the overtime, and I want to get parting shots from you guys in overtime, and then I'm going to promo every show again. So, Jerry, give us your parting shot.
My parting shot is this. There's going to be some hard-nosed basketball Saturday and Sunday. If you're a basketball fan, this is probably one of the best 2 days to watch the playoffs, because it's going to get hot and heavy for these teams that are trying to take it to the next level for the conference championship. Watch them and enjoy them.
All right. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Give us your parting shot.
Peace out to the queen.
Oh, God. We missed our conversation earlier. But okay. He says bye-bye to Miami. And I know Black is still at a barbecue, but he's on hold. If he wants to say something, he can hit the one button and I'll let him talk. But until then, I'm going to say this.
Wake up, man.
Like,
wake up.
Be quiet. Do that long day. I like to watch competitive sports. I don't like to think or believe that a referee, any type of official, is skewing the game for their monetary self. Now, if the rumors are true and the reports are true that the referee was hanging out with, you know, Floyd, and Floyd cashed in that $1.5 million bet, and there was somewhat of an influence there, as Jerry said earlier, there's going to be hell to pay in the NBA. There's going to be hell to pay in the NBA. And not to mention, okay, if Floyd had that influence and was a part of that, that's just another black eye for him. Not boxing, but for him. Because I posted a report that the UFC did not do well on a night that the Avengers opened in the States, or the day before the Avengers, the weekend the Avengers opened in the States, as well as Floyd Mayweather fighting, as well as it being Cinco de Mayo. But a buddy of mine said, it's just Floyd. It's just Floyd that generated so much money and the attention, and that's why the UFC didn't do so hot. If Floyd had anything to do with any fixing, there's a problem.
Fixing what?
You don't know about the report?
No, fixing what?
Basketball game.
Oh, a basketball game. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so that's what we going with this week.
Okay, Jerry, break it down to him. Tell him where to go. Tell him what it is, real quick.
All right. There's a report. In fact, this is what you need to do. You need to Google Floyd Mayweather with what the heck is this guy's name? Oh, my God, I can't remember this guy's name.
And I just closed the daggone chat room, too. Sorry.
Floyd Mayweather and gambling on basketball game with a referee who happened to visit Floyd Mayweather and pretty much got buddy-buddy with him before the game took place between the Memphis Grizzlies Memphis Grizzlies,
yeah,
and the L.A. Clippers. He was the same one that was involved back in the day when the Sacramento Kings played the Dallas Mavericks, if I'm not mistaken. And supposedly there was crazy things or suspicious things going on. And Tim Donaghy, that got involved in that, was part of that refereeing crew. Well, one of the guys that were in that crew back then was in the same crew of the game that Floyd Mayweather put a $1.8 million bet on, supposedly. So there's some suspicion about what took place in that game and how it was reffed. And that's what Mayweather may be tied into that. Not to accuse him, but it's awful coincidental that the same guy that got involved with the game in the past years with Tim Donaghy and the same crew is involved in this game that supposedly Floyd Mayweather bet
heavily on.
So the spin is that because Mayweather put in 1.something million, that Mayweather fixed the games.
No,
it's the history of the referees and the way that game went down, as well as, you know, that Floyd placed that large wager. Now, not saying referees can't have friends, but when you are about to ref a playoff game and the underdog is supposedly 6 points underdog, and then towards the end of the game you get some calls, you know, like, what the hell, you know, and then this surfaces.
I understand that. The thing that I'm alluding to, and I'm just going to come right out and say it, you know, the folks that were in that crew that fixed those games earlier with, you know, Sacramento and that guy, Ken, whatever his name is, and now this referee too, I think that Floyd was stupid to get his name involved with it, but I don't think he's stupid, and I'm not stupid. I know for a fact that those guys are being, you know, either pushed or controlled by another entity. You know what I mean? And I think Floyd, you know, knows that, and he just put a bet on it. Maybe the guy whispered in his ear, let him know where the fix was, but I don't think that Floyd fixed it. I think it was stupid for him to get involved, but I don't think he's dirty or this was love. I think he's stupid, but I don't think he's dirty.
And the referee's name is Greg Willard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg Willard. Well, back to what I was saying, you know, whether or not he fixed or not, the fact that a referee, now this is more to my point, that a referee decided that there's a possibility of his name being besmirched and his credibility being messed with is beyond me. Again, you put yourself in these situations and you lay down with the pigs, you don't come up strong like roses. So I'm hoping that in any sport, whether it's boxing, football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, that these guys, you know, are on the level. Now, I'm not saying you have to be the most credible person to be a ref, but you got to have a lot of integrity. And there's a lot of folks in the world, including a lot of athletes, that do not have integrity. And they smile in your face and stab you in the back. You know, so things happen, and I'm hoping that this isn't the case because it's a black eye on the sport, and again, a black eye on Floyd, if, in fact, that would be true. But to go with that, I would just like to say that I love the competitiveness of all sports. Let's not take it away by softening the ability of these athletes to compete. That goes directly to football, but more importantly, to the art of boxing, the sport of MMA, the double play, the triple play, all these things that make baseball exciting. You need a little replay to help it out because some of these refs and umps, they don't get it right. They just don't get it right sometimes. So my parting shot is refs, get it together. Get it together and keep these guys on the up and up and keep the sport as clean as possible. That's all I got to say on that.
You're in a fight, my man.
Huh?
You are in a fight in fantasy baseball.
I know, bruh. I saw that just before we went live. But, ladies and gentlemen, again, Fantasy Sports and Politics airs every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with myself and Jerry and whoever else joins in. Today we have my cousin Mike and we have Black in the chat room. On Sunday, we air The Master Plan with JT, Jerry Taylor. ATM, what you got going on tomorrow?
Oh, one of the first things I want to talk about is a man who's trying to start a his own football team.
Really?
Fathering a whole bunch of kids. That's what I'm going to start my show up with.
The guy that has 30 kids, huh?
Yeah. I got to talk about that. This is crazy.
He needed to be clipped. Gotcha. What else you got?
Well, I'm going to be talking about some sports and all, but I'm starting it off and talking about this this guy and being a responsible father. How's that starting this program off tomorrow, being a responsible father?
Gotcha. So. Gotcha, brother, man. All right. Then on Tuesdays, we have Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. Kim is always trying to reach the youth as well as women and the sensitive side of life. How can we be compassionate to one another to make this world a better place? That's Kim's job. She's got that going on. On, my goodness, Wednesday's my cousin, Grown Soul Real Talk. Talk to me. What you got?
Hey, when does your woman's wants become demand?
Oh.
We're going to be talking about.
Okay.
That's a real good subject.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can chime in on that. Married 10 years. I can chime in on that. Anyway. Good job on that. What time you guys air?
8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, don't come on there if you can't handle it with the women, Slim, because they will get rough. Don't Tony even do it. Just sit back and listen.
Oh, I'm not coming on. I'm just saying I can give my thoughts.
Oh, you suffer from SNS, huh?
Oh, you know what, though? You suffer from SNS.
You know what that means,
Mike?
Listen and watch as the lion tamer put his head inside the lion's mouth. I get bit.
Okay, do what you do. Do what you do, Mr. Grown Soul. All right. Then on Thursdays, we have FSP Crucial with Jerry, Jeff, and Black. I'm not sure if Black has anybody coming on this Thursday, but I'm quite sure whatever happens on that show is going to be marvelous. Marvelous. Then on Fridays, we're going to bring the Black conservative or independent, whatever you want to call them, back to the stage. No Chaser, Mac Williams and JT Money, Jerry Taylor. What you guys got cooked up for this Friday?
I think we're going to be continuing the same conversation that we had pertaining to Black people, and if they are in tune to the political process or pay attention to the political process, or are they ignorant to it. We had a heated discussion toward the end of that show, and I think it's going to continue in this show coming up. So,
all right. Well, we know how Max feels. He's a Fox man. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I took him to task about that.
Oh, I might have to come through that, John. We might have to do a joint airing.
Oh, I got you.
Okay.
I'll call in with my John on air, and we just go. Because really,
hey, you haven't heard Mac.
No, we heard him. He was on here before.
Yeah, but you heard his political views.
Fake Detroit Lions fan.
Yeah, well, he's got deeper thoughts than that.
And don't even know his whole team, Slim.
Well, no, the man ain't here to defend himself. The man ain't here to defend himself. I'm just saying. Check it out Friday,
and
ladies and gentlemen. Standard Time.
He
on
is Detroit Lions fan, and he don't know who's in his front office. And quote him, I don't care who's in my front office.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly what he said. You could go to the playback.
Okay. Right. I got you, dog. I got you, bro. I'm just trying to promote the show. That's all I'm trying to do. I can tell right now, if you get on this show, Jerry, all you got to do is be quiet and hit me whenever they get out of control. Because I can see that happening right now.
Oh, oh yeah.
Mac going to say something like
Jerry,
he said about Obama.
Hey, Jerry, uh-huh. You just got my phone number. Whatever position you got and you feel like you're losing, just call me, let me know what it is, and I'll go. You do that.
Oh, no problem.
Well, check it out, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fantasy Sports and Politics, and we're about to go off the air. So, Mr. Taylor, you know what I need you to do.
Yeah, from Macau, me, JT Money, and Vic Gardner.
Cribbit, really? Really? Gotcha.
Wait, you've been listening to...
I press the button.
Yeah, be nice.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports and Politics. Fantasy